It's the 365 Days of Astronomy podcast. Coming in 3, 2, 1.
This episode of 365 Days of Astronomy is sponsored by Howard McCulsey, reminding everyone to look up at every opportunity.
You are listening to the NASA Lunar Science Institute podcast, which highlights the latest news and information of the Moon, on the Moon, and from the Moon. It's produced by the NASA Lunar Science Institute at the Ames Research Center in Moffett Field, California.
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Howell for the NASA Lunar Science Institute. In the past few years, we've discovered that the Moon has an atmosphere that behaves very differently from the Earth. The Artemis mission from NASA recently discovered some interesting things concerning charged particles in the lunar atmosphere. Today, we will hear from Andrew Poppe, a postdoctoral researcher at the University of California at Berkeley. He will explain to us how what scientists found on the Moon could help us understand other airless bodies in the solar system. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Poppe. Before we elaborate on your research, can you give us a bit of background about the Artemis mission?
Absolutely. The Artemis mission is a two-probe NASA mission that's orbiting the Moon. The two probes are identical, and they're specifically outfit to study plasma, that is, electrons and ions, and electromagnetic fields in space, and how those electrons and ions and fields interact with the solid surface of our Moon. Now, the probes have been there for almost 2 years now. They originally derived from another NASA mission called Themis that was orbiting the Earth. And the probes have been returning a wonderful amount of data with which we've been able to learn a lot about not only specifically our Moon and how it interacts with plasma and electromagnetic fields, but we've also really begun to learn a lot about fundamental laws of nature and how that interacts with plasma physics.
Can you give an example of that?
Yeah, one of the very interesting interactions that goes on the Moon is what's called the lunar wake. And basically what happens is the Moon absorbs all the plasma that hits it on the front side. And on the back, it actually is what's called a lunar void. There's absolutely no plasma. Now, as that refills farther and farther away from the Moon, a lot of the electrons and ions undergo really fundamental interactions that produce a lot of waves. Artemis directly measures these waves and these particle interactions, and that allows us to test very basic theories of plasma physics.
Huh. And moving on to your research, lately you've been using Artemis to explore the Moon's atmosphere. Now, we often think of the Moon as a pretty desolate place, so I'm curious, when we say atmosphere, is that the same kind of atmosphere that we'd see on, say, the Earth or Mars?
No, it's actually not. It has a lot of differences between what we really think about as a terrestrial atmosphere or Martian atmosphere. Now, the main difference is that the quote-unquote atmosphere around the Moon is incredibly tenuous. It's very, very thin. That really drives it into a different regime of physics, because what happens is the atmosphere is so incredibly thin that it's really unlikely that any of the individual atoms in the Moon's atmosphere ever interact with one another. Really, the only thing they ever interact with is the surface of the Moon itself. Technically, that kind of an atmosphere is what we call an exosphere. So you'll hear that term thrown around every once in a while. And what that means is that the surface of the Moon basically forms the lower boundary where each of these individual atoms interact. Now, the other really curious thing about the Moon's exosphere is that in contrast to the Earth, where the atmosphere is mainly nitrogen, oxygen, some carbon products, at the Moon it's a really rich diversity of products, everything from really light elements like hydrogen, and helium, carbon, and oxygen, to a lot more metallic elements. We see a lot of aluminum, we expect to see some magnesium and calcium, perhaps even some iron. And these atoms are actually coming from the lunar rocks themselves. They're literally being sandblasted or scoured off the surface. So in the lunar exosphere, there's actually a really rich diversity of atomic species.
And that's kind of what you were looking at as well, because you recently were using Artemis to look at the trajectories of some of the ions or charged particles coming from the lunar atmosphere. So what did you find?
Right, that's correct. So Artemis has the ability to look at the charged particles that are originating from the exosphere. So as the exospheric atoms are sort of hopping around the day side of the moon, every once in a while they'll pick up an electric charge. And once they pick up an electric charge, Artemis can measure them. Now, the fun part about using Artemis data to look at this is Artemis only sees a small fraction of these what are called pickup ions, ions that have been recently charged and driven into Artemis. And so what we've had to do is we've had to build a model that describes all of the newborn pickup ions coming from the lunar exosphere and look at how those ions get transported from close to the lunar surface out to the Artemis spacecraft. And by doing that, we can try and discern what species are in the lunar exosphere and how those are distributed. We're also trying to learn a little bit about how those ions interact with not only background electromagnetic fields that are in the solar wind, but also how those ions interact with electric fields from the moon itself.
And it also is about the interaction with the Earth, because the Earth has a tail of charged particles opposite the sun that is called the magnetotail. And your research actually found that the moon's atmosphere, or exosphere, as you said, changes when it passes through this area. So what happens then?
Right. This is a really interesting test case. So as the moon orbits the Earth, it occasionally passes through what you mentioned as the magnetotail. The magnetotail is part of Earth's magnetic fields that are draped into a very, very long tail that stretches away from the sun. And as the moon orbits the Earth for about 4 days every month, the moon will pass through this magnetotail. And these magnetic fields that are coming from the Earth and are draped backwards, to some degree, shield the moon from the solar wind. The solar wind is coming from the sun, as solar suggests. And what happens is we believe that most of the exosphere is actually generated when solar wind particles bombard the lunar surface. So when the moon passes in the magnetotail and solar wind particles are shielded from the surface, this allows other sources, so what we might call secondary sources of the lunar exosphere, to become dominant. And what we believe, what the Artemis data suggest, is that another process, which is micrometeoroid bombardment, literally when meteors are constantly sort of raining down on the surface and literally vaporizing as they impact the surface, we believe that that mechanism is becoming the dominant source of the lunar exosphere while the moon is in the magnetotail. And the reason we see this in the Artemis data is that there's a slight asymmetry in the direction that meteors impact both the moon and the Earth. They tend to strike on the dawn side of both of these objects. And what we believe we see in the Artemis data are that the neutral atoms that eventually get charged and driven into Artemis are more centered towards the dawn side of the moon rather than at the subsolar point where the solar wind impacts. Now, this needs a lot of follow-up work, but that's what we believe the Artemis data are suggesting at this point.
Do you see this application happening with other moons as well besides Earth's moon?
Absolutely. There's a lot of analogs that you can draw between our moon and many of the moons of the outer planets, for example. There's been some work that's looked at pickup ions and exospheres of the moons of Saturn with the Cassini mission. I believe there's also some older literature from the Voyager missions and all of the outer planet satellites. But one of the goals going forward with this research is to sort of compare and contrast what we see at our moon to what we see at many of these moons, or what we perhaps might see or might need to look for in the data at a lot of the outer planet moons.
And for your own research, what's the next direction?
So the next big direction is a new mission. It's very exciting, called LOTI, which stands for the Lunar Atmosphere and Dust Environment Explorer. That's a small mission that's going to launch hopefully this September. And on board LOTI is going to be three instruments, which are going to hopefully very thoroughly characterize both the neutral atmosphere or exosphere of the moon and also the dust component of the exosphere. And the instruments that are on board LOTI are different than the instruments that are aboard Artemis. And so what we're hoping to do is combine simultaneous measurements by Artemis, which should still be in orbit around the moon when LOTI gets there, and all this brand new set of data that's coming from LOTI, looking at the exosphere with sort of a different set of eyes or a different set of instruments, to really discern what's going on in the lunar exosphere. Now, there have been recently some results that have been published by the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter team from a couple of those instruments. And at first glance, they seem to disagree with what we see at Artemis. So it's presenting a very interesting scientific puzzle as to how Artemis and LRO are, in theory, observing the same atmosphere, but seeing it from slightly different angles and not quite yet agreeing. So we're really looking forward to LOTI to help us connect both LRO measurements to Artemis measurements and to really get to some of the fundamental questions about what's going on in the lunar exosphere.
I'm going to have to keep my eye on you. Thank you very much for talking with me today, Dr. Poppy.
Absolutely.
To find out more about this topic, visit our website at www.lunarscience.nasa.gov. Any opinions expressed are those of the individual and do not necessarily reflect the opinion of NASA or the NASA Lunar Science Institute. This podcast is produced for educational and information purposes only. On behalf of the NASA Lunar Science Institute, thanks for listening.
You are listening to the IYA 365 Days of Astronomy podcast.
The 365 Days of Astronomy podcast is produced by Astrosphere New Media Association. Audio post-production by Richard Drum. Bandwidth donated by Libsyn.com and Wizard Media. Web design by Clockwork Active Media Systems. You may reproduce and distribute this audio for non-commercial purposes. Please consider supporting the podcast with a few dollars or euros. Visit us on the web at 365daysofastronomy.org or email us at info@365daysofastronomy.org. Until tomorrow, goodbye.